Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me Benjamin Bernstein. And among other things, you are the author of The Instant Divine Assistance, Your Complete Guide for Fast and Easy Spiritual Awakening, Healing, and More. This is what happens when I write at night. You're also a spiritual teacher, podcaster, astrologer, membership-based work, and you also do shamanic healing, and you have this Instant Divine Assistance system. And I just want to welcome you and thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm so looking forward to this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Sophia. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So I want to ask you, the first question that's coming through is, tell me a little bit about your journey, because I always love hearing about that.
Okay, well, for starters, I'm 64 years old, so I've been at this a while.
Awesome.
I'll try to give you the journey in a fairly concise form.
You can
ask for expansion if you want. So for my first 17 years, I didn't even believe in God. You know, I was raised in an atheistic family, secular Jews, and I would have been an atheist if I could have justified it logically, but I had to settle for agnostic. Okay. Then at 17, I have this bizarre experience. I'm laying on bed listening to music, and all of a sudden my body is like 45 degrees off at an angle. It feels like, I mean, I can tell I am physically lying flat on the bed, but I feel like I'm at a 45 degree angle. That's okay. This is busting all my paradigms open. I thought it was just a physical world, and this is completely inexplicable. So I found, oh, that's called astral projection. And I started reading up on that. And that led me to my first spiritual community, where I was there for 20 years, where I was living in Oklahoma. So I followed this spiritual teacher and, you know, did what I could and thought I was doing okay, but I had no idea how slowly I was going. So trying to, you know, do work in the inner worlds, awaken as best I could. So I did that till I was like 37. Then I finally got tired of that path for a number of reasons. It was, for one thing, way too much work. I remember one time I was doing this 2-hour technique that was 150 steps, building multiple bodies in the inner world. This is just, God doesn't have to be this complicated, please. So went to the other diametric extreme, to Vipassana Buddhism, which says just sit with everything. And that helped me finally open my heart. I didn't even know I was so shut off from my heart, but now my heart started opening. I started some initial processing of some old wounds and traumas, started feeling stuff. And that was a good step forward. Then 5 years later, I make a big move. For all 41 years of my life so far, I've lived in central Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And then I make this major move to Asheville, North Carolina, halfway across the country. And at this point, I'm quitting my 15-year corporate sales job, and I'm going to go be a singer-songwriter, okay?
Classic. That's awesome. Midlife
crisis, right?
Awesome. Okay?
So, but I say, I'm not going to work for the man anymore. I need to make my life purpose the same as my livelihood. So I try to be a professional musician. I do okay artistically, but financially, it's a complete fiasco. I'm losing money hand over fist. But after a couple of years, synchronistically, the synchronicity starts coming in now. I meet this guy at an open mic who's a professional astrologer for 20 years. He becomes my best buddy. At that point, I have like zero interest in astrology. I was even married to an astrologer and had no interest in astrology. But now all of a sudden, I'm on fire with astrology. I can't learn it fast enough. After 2 years, he says, man, you're there. Hang out your shingle. You're a professional astrologer. Go.
Wow.
So I do that. And of course, making some money as an astrologer is better than losing money as a musician, okay? So I'm starting to head in the right direction. And I think, okay, I guess I'm an astrologer. That's my life purpose. A few years later, I'm invited to a San Pedro plant spirit ceremony, okay? Which is, for those who don't know, a plant spirit is a very powerful psychoactive medicine. It's not just a substance. It is a living spirit. And I have one night of healing that says, oh my God, I just did more healing in one night than all 5 years of my Vipassana practice. Oh my gosh, this stuff is like dynamite. Okay. So I start a few more San Pedros. Then I discover this thing called ayahuasca. Okay. And that's even more amazing for me. And so that got me on the path of working with plant spirits, which I've done for nearly 20 years now. I've done over 300 plant spirit ceremonies.
Wow.
Several trips down to Peru to do extended immersions. Okay. So this stuff is great for me. But as I started doing plant spirit work, I'm thinking, wow, wouldn't it be cool if I could help people like this? I'd love to be a shaman too. So I've got this ego-based desire to be a shaman, right? Then I, after a short while, I go to my first two-week immersion in Peru to do like five ceremonies in the jungle, like the natives do it. And the shaman catches me socializing between ceremonies, which in this context, you're not supposed to do. You go to the ceremony, you go back to your little hut and you stay by yourself and you commune with the plants in the jungle and all that.
Yeah.
And he says, oh my God, you say you want to be a shaman. You can't even stay by yourself. Forget about being a shaman, man. Just do your healing. And I said, oh my God, you're right. Who do I think I am? So I literally gave up on even being a shaman at that point. However, and again, I'm squeezing all this pretty tightly. Yeah. Less than a year later, I'm doing another ceremony with another shamanic couple, and ayahuasca calls me to be a shaman.
Wow.
And this is a whole different thing. When you're called, it's a whole different matter than you're wanting to do it from your ego. So, and to be a shaman with plant spirit work, you just have to do a lot of plant spirit ceremonies. And it's the plants themselves who you know, refine you and train you and teach you and give you the transformation of consciousness that let you do that work. So after a while, okay, I'm ready. I'm a shaman now. So I'm hanging out my shingle and I'm doing healing work for people as well as astrology. Then a few years later, someone asked me, well, I need a life coach. Can you do that for me? I said, I don't know. Let me find out. So I start reading books on life coaching until they start repeating themselves. And I'm a life coach now. And in the meantime, I'm starting to do my own little, I wouldn't even call them ceremonies, like 1 to 2 hour. At this point, they're like 2 hour little ceremonies. I call them shamanic awakening ceremonies, where I think it's kind of like an ayahuasca, but no one's drinking anything. I'm rattling and singing and moving energy and trying to clear heavy energy. And it is helping people for sure. Start them in person. Then I start migrating them online on Zoom. And that has grown into my Awakening Plus online membership. I've got hundreds of members in there, and we do a dozen Zoom events every month of all kinds for healing, for awakening, for connection with other awakening people. And a lot of people have been with that for years, getting a lot of benefit from that. So basically, that's sort of the granular details. But the big arc is, when I was 41, I finally had the courage to get off the mainstream wagon and do my thing. And I vowed I would never do another day job, and I haven't since then. But the thing is, I followed my passion, my life purpose, the best I understood it. And my momentum, my passion carried me forward. I would always do the best thing I knew to do until another thing opened. And I also was awakening progressively through all this period. And what I've learned is, every time you have an awakening, new possibilities open. You have a new consciousness that can do more. You have more access to divine light and energy. You can serve better. And so I always say, all I have now is the best current conception of what my service might look like. But after I wake up some more, who knows what it'll be, you know? And my motto, I like to say, you know, some people say it doesn't get any better than this. You know, my motto is, it always gets better than this, because there's no limit to how deeply one can awaken and how much more magnificent your human life can become. So that's my, I guess, rather long-winded answer to your question.
No, that's beautiful, because it just, it gives me some context, and it gives me like that. So for me, my journey has been about curiosity. I have been a curious one since I was little. And because I'm so left-brained, I'm an Aquarius, I can't help it. what I love is that quantum physics feeds that part of my brain. And so like my right brain already gets consciousness. I already get that. But when the left brain is like, but I wanted, what is, and I'm like, okay, here, go play.
Yeah.
And what I found is, the more I connect with my source self, the less interested I am in doing so much as following the guidance and the beingness. And that's a fun exploration. And I'm wondering if you had any experience like that, where it was like more of that divine sense of the synchronicities, or like how was that?
Okay, you've got several things I can
unpack. I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's good. You're giving me a lot of material to work with here. Okay. First, I'm also an Aquarius. I have Uranus rising in my astrology chart, so I'm all about the Aquarian vibe too. And my left brain, I'm constantly reading and consuming and learning. So I never, you know, I try to keep a happy medium between my info hungry left brain and my just intuitive flowing right brain. And it's all come together pretty comfortably at this point.
Good, good.
Let me just feel into, so could you just kind of paraphrase your question again? I'm afraid I went into a tangent there.
That's okay, because, you know, Aquarians, I'm glad that you understand I'm glad you understand this, because the multifaceted thoughts and how quickly everything goes by. So I'm going to.
Oh, doing and being. Sorry. I got it. I have a joke about that. I thought that one of the famous people who mastered that was Frank Sinatra. Yeah. And he nailed it in one of his songs. He sings, doobie doobie doo, doobie doo. Anyhow, so what I find is that the nature of my personality is it loves to do. Mm-hmm. I'm all about serving. You know, my greatest selfish pleasure is serving other people. Mm-hmm. And so I do that a lot. And for me, I'm not so much about a space out, oh, let me just float in the ethers kind of awakening. I'm about a embodied, practical, useful in 3D kind of awakening. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've learned that any state of consciousness can be experienced while you're in your body. It can come to you. All levels interpenetrate. And so I don't have to leave anywhere to get a state of consciousness. It can be right here with Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's happening is Benjamin is integrating more and more with higher awareness, deeper awakenings, and serving more effectively. Mm-hmm. So, and again, it depends on your chart. I've done over 10,000 client sessions, mostly astrology. Mm-hmm. So I've learned that each person's chart is a unique insight into their individual wiring, their sole purpose. And mm-hmm. some people, they are here more to be. Mm-hmm. They're not great accomplishers. They're here to develop states of consciousness and to just be more passive. My chart is very active. It's very yang. So I take my awakenings and I go to town with them. I serve people. I do things. Mm-hmm. You know, I've, like you say, I've got my membership. I do my podcasts. I do my videos. I love being engaged and active in my service work. So that's my passion. I guess I'm a great karma yogi, you know. I don't mean great as in I'm wonderful. I mean, that's a focus of mine. I like serving through doing, mm-hmm. as well as being in the states of consciousness that empower the doing. I hope that's
yeah, it is. This is for me, it's been this interesting balance of when I get too much in my head, I love the doing. I love the mm-hmm. serving. I also really love connecting with Mama Gaia. And like trees and boulders and laying in the ground and looking at the sky when it's sunny, and it's not right now in Oregon, but when it's sunny, it is such a joy to spend hours laying on the ground, and it just reboots me in ways that my mind doesn't. So I was just curious, like, if you have that balance of the yang with the groundedness.
Yeah, I'm grounded naturally. I've got a ton of earth in my astrology chart. So I don't need to spend quite as much time outside to be grounded. In fact, ground is my default, and it's very rare that I'm not. So that part's easy for me. Yeah. Yeah. So with all my earth, I'm good and grounded. In fact, my journey in my life was that I was very grounded, and I had to have these plant spirit helpers over many years clear away all the debris around me so I could begin to perceive the subtle inner realms.
Wow.
And now I've become super empathic. And when I work with a client, I'm feeling in my body what's happening in theirs enough that I can tell.
Okay.
So I'm able to feel the mirroring and be able to track exactly how they're doing if I'm leading them in some kind of inner world process.
Oh, wow.
But that was hard won over almost 20 years of plant spirit work, just releasing those layers of heavy gunk that were clouding my perception for most of my life.
Yeah. So that's fascinating.
The hard way. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I haven't been drawn too much to plant medicine. So I'm curious about it, 'cause I haven't. So ayahuasca and what was the other one?
San Pedro, also called Huachuma.
Okay. Yeah. What are the different, aspects to each one of them, because I don't know, and I'm just curious.
Okay, I'll try to keep this really top level because I could talk for hours about this stuff. Okay.
Okay.
So what they both are, they're both powerfully psychedelic. And there's actually a different term that some people like. They call them entheogenic.
Okay.
And that literally means God revealing.
Ooh.
So my
Okay.
experience and perception, you go in there and you can have visions and see amazing things that aren't normally perceived in 3D, but I don't view those as hallucinations.
Okay.
What I perceive is they're actually unveiling to me deeper levels of reality.
Okay.
So this is not just imaginary stuff. This is the real deal. And what they've shown me is the greatest illusion of all is this 3D world we're in right here.
Right.
This is actually the most transitory, the most illusory realm of all. Okay. The other levels that I get exposed to in ceremony are actually much more enduring and much more real.
Okay.
We have a t body here for a few decades and then the body dies. And but then what we really are goes back to those more genuine levels. In fact, I had this amazing, I know I'm tangenting a bit, but I just want to
That's
tell this.
okay.
I had one ceremony years ago with ayahuasca where she actually took me to several different universes, each one which was completely unlike this one. One was kind of like a lava lamp kind of place, just globule things, And there was another that was like giant robots, but they needed an organic consciousness to operate. And so each one completely different than the others. And then this goes on for several hours, right? And then basically she was giving me two lessons there. One, God loves variety. And
Yep.
the other was that the only fundamental reality is unity. If something's in form, it is by definition an illusion compared to the fundamental reality of unity. So,
That's
we are,
beautiful.
it's kind of like we are actually in a gigantic video game in a way. We are the players, but what else has God got to do? In
Right.
unity, it's really blissful, but nothing's happening there. There's no differentiation. And the creator loves to have experiences and just, put things out into dualism and let's see what happens, So that's kind of my understanding. So the plant spirits helped me understand that experientially by
Okay.
going to deeper levels. What I like to say as a caution, while I have definitely experienced the most incredible bliss and ecstasy of my life under the influence of these medicines, I've also gone through the most difficult shadow work. And for those who don't know, shadow work means you've got old traumas, you face them head on, and you heal them using skillful methods. And I have faced all so many old traumas and from this life, from past lives, gone through just harrowing experiences where I felt like I was dying and a part of me really was, just not physically. And what I say to people who are even contemplating plant spirit work is unless you are ready to face the most difficult traumas of your lifetime for hours on end with no way out but through, you have no
Right.
business using these medicines. They will
Right.
take you there at some point.
Wow.
So for me, heavy duty plant spirits like ayahuasca, like San Pedro, other similar things might be peyote or iboga, things like that, the really powerful entheogens. These are not recreational, folks. You don't do these for
Right.
fun. You do these because you are serious and you want to do them in a safe container, being facilitated by a properly trained shaman who is of love and light, because there are dark shamans who will mess with you and you don't want those. So this is not something to do lightly. And check out, vet anyone who's going to facilitate and just do whatever due diligence you can to make sure you're in a safe space when you do it.
I appreciate that so much because I don't know anything about it. I was Girl Scout till I was 18. So
I made it up to Weebelows.
I got the gold award. Anyways, so it's this interesting thing. I remember I have a former friend down in Weed, California, which is near Shasta, and he heavily used mama marijuana. And I hung out with him a lot, and I could feel my frequency lowering because it wasn't used sacredly. It was used as a habit, call it. That was a very nice way to put it. Anyway, she came into my consciousness one day after I spent time with him, and she said, "When you spend time with him, when he's using me or abusing me, rather, I'm affecting your consciousness, and you have many more things to do on the planet, and you don't have time for this." So the next day, I went and I said to him, Mama Marijuana came to me and said that I have to choose myself over spending time with you when you're stoned. And he's like, "You're making me choose?" I said, "No, I would never, ever ask you to choose. Never ask you to choose. I'm choosing me." And it was the first time I had a plant medicine come in and talk to me and have bring that awareness to me, because I wasn't using it. But I was with somebody who did, and she was coming in as like a, "Just to let you know, Source has got like some stuff for you to do on the planet, and you're not doing them. So you need to remove yourself from that paradigm so Source can come through you and bring through what needs to come through." And it was a really fascinating experience, because I mean, when cedars talk to me, it's more of an energy exchange. Redwoods talk to me. Boulders just have me come over and sit with them. It's not like a conversation. So it's really interesting that the non-psychedelic plants, I think at this time in consciousness, are trying to bring us back into relation with them. And I'm not sure, are you seeing that?
I don't work so much with the kind of things you're talking about personally, but I know a lot of people who do. My affinity is more to the plant spirit master teachers. But basically, if we're going to wake up in a meaningful way, then we will come to the realization everything is alive. Everything has consciousness. It is all God in some form. And so even though a rock, a boulder may have a very slow consciousness, it has a consciousness. Everything is animate. And different people will be drawn to different members of the plant or animal kingdom and connect with them. And yeah, that's all beautiful. So it each person will have their own unique little mission as to which elements of the physical and metaphysical worlds they're drawn to. And we each get our own little assignments. So it's beautiful that you're connecting so lovely with the members of the plant kingdom.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm so curious about like how do the ceremonies unfold? I don't know, I because again, I'm just curious. I don't know anything about it. So when you hold space for and create ceremony for others who are on this journey, what is that experience?
Okay. To be clear, I do not facilitate ayahuasca ceremonies or plant spirit work. When my space holding is done within the Awakening Plus container online, so I'm not ingesting anything. But I actually trained for several years to be a plant spirit facilitator, but didn't fully step into that. But I learned all the training I thought I was doing to like serve some psychoactive plant spirit. Those same skills I'm now using in my Awaken and Bless membership to hold space for people on Zoom, and even if they, as a member, listen to the recordings, the space is still there for them. So, but if you're asked, so if you're asking what I do in Awakening Plus, I can answer that. Okay, yeah. So basically, when I most of the events are experiential. So after we're all on Zoom, I say, okay, now I'm going to set up the container. I sit in front of a shamanic mesa. And I sing the four directions in the center, a language called Quechua. Then I call in several dozen divine allies. Again, I've been on this path almost 50 years. And the beings I call in, they're ascended masters, they're Hindu gods and goddesses, they're angels, archangels. I call in the plant spirits that I work with. I call in sacred mountain spirits, water spirits, a lot of different animal spirits, real and imaginary in quotes, right? But basically, by the time I've spent 3 or 4 minutes calling in all these beings, there's a really powerful field there. And of course, I call in my own higher self to embody me and empower me to the greatest extent so I can do good facilitation. Then once the allies are there, I then create a sacred container. And this container protects not only me, but everyone who does the call live or on the recording. So it holds the container of the energies called in, and it protects from any malevolent forces that might try to get in. So we're in protected space. That means we can do our deep healing work vulnerably and without concern for things messing with us, okay? Because there are things that mess with you, and you got to know how to work with them if you're going to do this kind of work, all right? So then once the container is set, we do whatever we're going to do. My events, some of them are very gentle. And they're focused more on just moving into union with your higher self and into maybe blending with the beautiful group field. Mm-hmm. Some are really intense. I'm a certified shamanic breathwork facilitator. It's kind of like holotropic breathwork. So I can sometimes put together a mix and we breathe strongly to the mix once in a while, or I'll do strong rattling and singing live on Zoom to really move energy strongly and clear things out. A lot of times we'll have individual members step into the hot seat, so to speak, and everyone focuses healing energy on them as conduits.
Oh, cool.
And there's a whole variety of things we've developed over the years. And, you know, I can't even fit all the events into a single month, even though we do a dozen events. You know, I have to, it takes 2 or 3 months to even get all the events in.
Wow.
Lots, yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that because I don't know, it's like having that, I've reluctantly mastered triggers and have really embodied a lot of shadow work through somatic healing.
Mm.
And, you know, without having someone hold space for that, it's a lot more challenging to get to that deeper level because, at least for me anyways, because that, yes, I am safe for myself, but having somebody hold space and witnessing while I'm feeling that is just such an important for me part of the journey. And I'm sensing that you probably have experienced that on some level as well.
Oh, yeah. You can get to a point where you could do it either way, solo or with a space holder. You know, I consistently do my most powerful healing work in ayahuasca ceremonies.
Okay.
Because I have the medicine holding space for me, the shaman, and everyone in that room is holding space for me in some way or another.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a container designed for that kind of work. It's you know, custom tailored for it. At the same time, I can have my higher self hold space for me and my divine allies can hold space for me. So I've got a whole crew of non-physical beings who can help me out and hold space. So, you know, space can be held in a variety of ways. When you awaken to a certain point, you're not just the personality. You can simultaneously be the awakened self helping out the personality, and you can be the personality being helped, and it's all seamless. You can be both places easily at the same time. So there's different ways of having space held that don't have to necessarily involve another physical being.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that.
And this is a good segue into my invocations, because these were given to me by ayahuasca over 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Just dropped in the middle of a ceremony. And I've been sharing them ever since. I've done these tools with thousands of people now. And they're the whole basis of that book. And let me go ahead and just say the title.
Yeah.
If that's okay. Yeah, it's 15 words. It's maximum. I'm sorry. Try again. Instant Divine Assistance, Your Complete Guide to Fast and Easy Spiritual Awakening, Healing, and More. And what it boils down to is if you just can say 7 or 8 words to your higher self and then relax and let it do the stuff for you, you can have extraordinary breakthroughs. I mean, if on Amazon, my book has almost 200 ratings now, 80% of them are 5-star. And all these people I've never met are just trying the technique from the book and saying, oh my God, I just had the most powerful awakening of my life. I just had this massive healing of this trauma that's dogged me for decades.
That's beautiful.
And it's a matter of invoking awakening or invoking healing using just a tiny number of words, and then just becoming passive and letting your higher self get in there and do it for you. You know, I spent most of my life doing ego-based, effort-based techniques where Benjamin had to concentrate or visualize or chant mantras. And, you know, there was a certain efficacy there for sure. But what ayahuasca said, hey, it doesn't have to be that hard. Ayahuasca said, you say maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please, and you relax, and your higher self will come, and your higher self will come to you and fill you with as much of it as you can hold, and you'll be an embodied awakening in 5 or 10 seconds. You got a challenge, a physical or emotional challenge of some kind. All you have to do is say to your higher self, maximum healing that serves highest good, please, and then just hold attention gently where it doesn't feel good, and your higher self will get in there and stir it up and flush it away. I'm not guaranteeing you can heal every single thing every time, but it's extraordinary how much can be healed and how quickly. And, you know, I've done these tools with people who've done all manner of very powerful techniques that are widely understood and acknowledged, and people rave about them. And mm-hmm. often they'll say, wow, your stuff works faster and better. You know, when I don't have the ego do anything but become passive after calling in the higher self and just feel what the higher self is doing, this stuff can happen incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I'm excited to be here on your podcast right now is just to let people know there is a way that might be a little quicker and easier than what you're doing and might even be more effective, but you won't know unless you try it.
Right.
And that's why I'm excited. You know, before we're done, I'd like to mention that video.
Definitely. We got a little while.
Okay. But just know I've got a little video that teaches these and a couple of other invocations, and it's free.
Oh, awesome.
And the video will actually lead you through them. So if you want to check these out, it's free and you can try it out and see if it works any better than what you're already doing.
Thank you.
And one little thing I've learned, having tried a number of paths and then having, you know, happily discovered a better way than I knew about, I would always, you know, let go of the old path if it's no longer worth the time and effort it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So I never get married to a technique, to a particular teacher, to a particular approach. The thing I am hardcore devoted to is my constant awakening, my constant healing, and my constant increase of service capacity. And whatever mm-hmm. gets me there the most efficiently, quickly, and easily, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's very important, in my opinion, not to get married to the means thereby, mm-hmm. but to the end result. And that's why I'm always, you know, ever since I started teaching these invocations, I've said, if you know something that works better than these for what it does, that's actually quicker, easier, more efficient than these invocations, please tell me about it. I will stop teaching this stuff and I'll teach that.
Mm.
And nobody has ever come back to me with something they said works better. And
that's awesome.
I still ask people if they've tried the invocations and they know something that works better, then please tell me about it. I'd love mm-hmm. to know. I'd rather teach someone else's technique that's more effective than mine that's less effective.
Right, right. No, I love that because that awareness of I get the mission. Like my mind has always been like, okay, I'm going to fully embody my Christ consciousness. That's the language I use. And I don't want anything getting in the way of that.
No.
Because that is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That is who we all are. And I had the opportunity to have a lot of, what is the word I want to use? What's coming in? Opportunities to give myself challenges throughout the way to uncover the light within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like technique after technique after technique. What is relevant in this moment that is helping me?
Mm-hmm.
And does it serve me in this moment or does it not? There are some things that really are amazing. And I'm being guided to share this one. I was up at Orcas Island last year, a magical, magical island up in Washington mm-hmm. State. And I go to a play, and I lived in California, north, you know, Shasta area for 3 years. I didn't experience COVID.
Mm.
Like we didn't shut down. We had dinners together. We hugged each other. We were blessed in this little pocket of normalcy.
Wow.
Orcas Island, 90-something% of the people on the island got vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm.
I am the white shiny object that didn't have any of the trauma. And mm-hmm. there is a play, and it's the first play that's gone on in 3 years. And it's the Christian school. They're doing C.S. Lewis's Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I'm just feeling guided to go because I love C.S. Lewis. It's a play. Mm-hmm. And so I get like a seat in the back where there's nobody sitting next to me. And I start feeling all of the trauma.
Mm.
From everybody who's finally emerging out of self-isolation on an island for 2.5 years.
Wow.
And I hear, activate your Merkaba. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden I feel this field of a golden Merkaba come out. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then mm-hmm. I hear, activate your toroidal field of unconditional love.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I stop caring about everybody else because my higher self is spreading unconditional love to everybody in the theater.
Wow.
And so I get to watch the play knowing full well that everybody is receiving this to the degree that they can. And when I got done, I just walked and left. I had a beautiful time because normally my former self would have been like, oh my gosh, I just want to hug everybody. And I want to like be so compassionate for everybody. I didn't have any of that because my higher self was like, yeah, we're not doing that with you anymore. You're too much of an empath. You just need to like be present for what you're here for and we'll take care of everything else. And since that time, that practice has come in, but you know, because I haven't had another one that has come in yet. So it's really fun when we get these pieces of guidance to bring forth something that we'd never heard of before that actually serves us really well, and it speaks to our openness to receive.
Yeah. It's a good example of something I've noticed is, you know, when you're being called to serve, you might be able to suddenly do things or have things happen through you that you had no idea how to do. You know, but if you're clean enough, you know, I like to say if you want to be a shaman or a healer, or be the conduit if you prefer that terminology, your main job is to get really clean. Your main job is to do your healing work. And in my book, I talk about the great onion of consciousness in relation to this. I say, okay, you've got a higher self, and you can imagine that as a big, beautiful ball of white light, bliss, ecstasy, euphoria, all the good stuff. But around it are all these dark onion layers, and these are all the wounds and traumas you haven't healed yet, maybe from this life, maybe from past lives, okay? And your human self is outside that onion, and the light is bright enough that some of it's getting to you anyway, but a lot of it is blocked by the old traumas. And what I've discovered in all the years I've been doing this kind of work is, for most people, the fastest road to awakening is to do effective shadow work. And if you are using an effective shadow work modality and that heavy stuff is clearing away or transmuting to love and light, then metaphorically, one of those onion layers is peeling off. And by the time it's off, you're going to feel different. You're going to be at a new level of awakening and a new baseline of consciousness, which is more wonderful than where you were at before.
Right.
So the more you do this, the more, is to use another metaphor, most people have a pretty clogged pipeline between them and spirit. You know, it's all clotted up. But as you do your shadow work, the pipeline clears and it gets bigger and wider and more capacity opens. There's more, everything comes through, more divine consciousness, more information, more energy, more spontaneous ability to do things like you're talking about that you may not have known about before. And that's why I say, if you're going to be a light worker, then job one is yourself. Always be working on your own healing and awakening. That's why I do ayahuasca ceremonies every month. You know, I gotta,
good for you.
I want to do the best thing I know how to do to stay clean and clear and keep up leveling my capacity so I can serve better. And then, the path of the martyr doesn't work. If you're all beaten down and heavy, then you're not going to have much service capacity. You gotta take care of you, make sure you're not only basic needs are met, but you're feeling lit up and euphoric and fulfilled and excited, or whatever your words are.
Yeah.
And that way you're going to serve others much better. So really everybody needs to win. The one who serves should be in a really great place in their life so they can radiate more love and light to others.
Yeah, that is such a paradigm shift. Because I mean, I was given the opportunity earlier this last month, I guess, I interviewed a woman who gave me this amazingly awkward story about people pleasing. And it was so visceral. I was feeling the discomfort that she was feeling. And she had me laughing so hard. I almost pee my pants. I was laughing so hard because I could feel it. I was like, oh, that is such a deep program that like I knew, but I didn't know to the capacity that I had until she told that story, and I could feel it so deeply. And I was like, I don't do it as much as I did, but I mean, it's fascinating when we come across these different layers of the illusion of self, because I'm an empath and I love taking care of other people. And I have done that in my past to the exclusion of myself. And to catch that awareness and be like, oh, that's, yeah, that was, yeah, ow, ow, ow. And I'm not judging myself, but like when we have those, that's how I get my shadow work done, is when I have something brought to my awareness, and then I have to, I don't have to, I get to sit with it and be present. Do when you do plant ceremonies, when you go through that trauma or that shadow work, how does it show? Like I don't know, because I do somatics, so I'm literally like present to the feelings of my body. How does that express itself when you go through one?
Depends on the ceremony, but I'll give you a typical kind of experience.
Okay.
Often, well, first, the ceremonies I'm doing now, they run like 7 or 8 hours. The
Okay.
shaman definitely gives us our money's worth, okay? So when the plant spirit takes effect, often my body will start, I'll literally start vibrating,
Oh,
okay?
wow.
So physically shaking.
Okay.
Usually, there's no usual, but that shaking could go on 30 minutes to an hour.
Wow.
And all various parts of my body will be shaken, like, oh, it's just the left shoulder now. Oh, now the right leg is shaking. And the medicine is very systematically going through and seeing where are the blockages that we're going to clear tonight. And the shaking is to loosen them up.
Okay.
Okay. And I will definitely feel heavy energy flushing away. It
Oh,
often goes out through
wow.
the hands or the feet or the base of the spine. Sometimes it goes out the top of the head. And so there's this energetic release of stuff. Now, in an ayahuasca ceremony, often there's vomiting,
Okay.
and that's just expected. So, there's a lot of people with their buckets purging and puking and getting stuff out that way. Sometimes I have to run down to the bathroom and poop it out or piss it out. It'll come out however it needs to. Yawn it out. Some people have huge, loud releases, screaming and just trauma coming up to be released more dramatically sometimes. So,
Okay.
just depends on what a person. I don't do it typically that dramatically anymore. My
Okay.
thing though is when I'm building up to to vomit, I'm so noisy and there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, I'm doing these loud hacks and I'm on my hands and knees and just all these terrible noise like someone about to vomit.
Wow.
And this can go on for like half an hour. It's crazy.
Wow.
And if like it was some way I could be more quiet, but I just can't, And a lot of times I'll get to that point and then I won't even physically purge. But the energy will come out the top of my head. So,
Oh,
in fact,
wow.
most of the time, and I purged more physically in my earlier days, but as I've gotten more accustomed to how all this works, often it's just an energetic release, and that's all that's needed because you can get the
Wow.
energy out etherically without having to have a physical release.
Oh,
So
that's fascinating.
I'm there on my hands and knees, vibrating, shaking, and I can feel energy, shaking out my body, shake, 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 and it'll pour out the top of my head into the ground, and Mother Earth just takes it and transmutes it. And so I have these wave after wave of all this heavy energy coming out and releasing.
Oh.
And the here's why, after I had one person ask me, my God, you've done so many ayahuasca ceremonies. When are you done? When's enough? And I say, well, when would I want to stop awakening more deeply? Because here's the magical thing the plant spirits do for me. Now, again, they're not for everybody,
Right.
but for those they are for, they're just amazing. Okay. So I'll speak for me. What ayahuasca does consistently for me is I'll go into ceremony. And so my premise is there's no end to awakening. It's an infinite universe. Awakening is potentially infinitely deep. There could be more levels. And here's the thing, you can't conceive the next level.
Right.
I had my lock-in awakening in 2012, okay, where it never went away again. And it was so ecstatic. I thought, well, did I just hit the jackpot? Have I just hit the ultimate awakening? Because I didn't know it could be this blissful, okay? But I've since learned that I was barely off the starting line because there's been so many more awakenings, and each one more expansive, more blissful. My daily reality when I wake up is the kind of altered state I used to have to drink ayahuasca to get to, but it's profoundly blissful and it's functional. I'm actually more functional in this state than if I wasn't. Well, like embodied awakening. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm in the ceremony, and what ayahuasca can see that Benjamin can't is okay, I see that next level of heavy energy that's blocking the next awakening in line. And when it's time, I was just, okay, we're going to clear that tonight and we're going to
Okay.
get you to that next awakening. And what the plant medicines can do for me that Benjamin can't is know what the next level is, how to get it out, and how to then, once it's gone, make sure I'm secure in that next level of awakening. And that's the main reason I keep doing that, because
Okay.
not only is my life more awesome if I'm more awake, but my service capacity increases. And increasingly, I live more and more in flow state in the zone where, most of the time I don't have to think about what to do. I'm just suddenly doing it. I can no longer tell where Benjamin ends and my higher self begins. It's all just one
Wow.
thing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So these are the kind of, what I like to say. I say, okay, if you're an embodied awakening, even at the starter level, these things will be true. There's more harmony, flow, ease, and grace. Everything you're responsible for, you will do more responsibly and more joyfully. There will be less need to think with your left brain because your intuition is going to work better. And there's this full body euphoria. And even if I'm like just teaching someone my embodied awakening vocation for the first time, and they get there in just a few minutes, doesn't, oh, I run the checklist on those things and yep, they're all true. Yeah. So basically, this is the veils are thinning all the time. And awakening, the same awakening than in an old traditional style, you might have had to work years of grueling monastery work to get to it. Now you can do this little invocation and be there in a matter of seconds. It's wonderful. And if you believe it's too good to be true, then for you, maybe that's true. But if you were willing to try it, maybe you wouldn't be.
I
So,
appreciate that because we do have that free will choice of like, is this good? Like I choose to be poor. Well, nobody says it consciously,
Yeah.
but if you're running the subconscious program, you are choosing to be poor. And so
Yeah.
yeah, I love that you found this that mama, I don't know, I heard mama, but mama ayahuasca gifted to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so fascinating how they're so supportive to help us and how misaligned they've been for years, especially in Western medicine, because not to denigrate Western medicine too much, but there's a certain role it plays in conditioning us into lower realms of frequency.
Yeah. Well, of course, the problem with, at least in America, the Western model is it's profit-based instead of humanity-based. And it's much more in their interest to keep us ill and keep feeding us drugs and procedures than to actually heal us so we don't need them so much. And, that's kind of sad. And again, Western medicine is also just a physical world-based model. It doesn't acknowledge anything spiritual. So that's why there's been this massive rise of alternative and other medicines that work consciously with spirit energy. And there's some things that Western medicine does better than. If you need surgery, that's where you go, but if you want ongoing holistic, maintenance, they're not the experts. I mean, I think I just read an average doctor at 4 years of medical school gets maybe 16 hours of nutrition training and that's it. But if you want nutrition and maintenance of lifestyle, then you better go elsewhere, or you go to someone like a functional medicine doctor who is trained in nutrition and will give you herbs and supplements rather than prescriptions. So, but again, yeah. So, we live in an imperfect world, and the game of consciousness is you spirit says, okay, I'm going to go send out part of me, and I'm going to give it amnesia. I'm going to forget what I am. Down to earth, you think you're just a 3D physical being. And now the game is, can I systematically reawaken to what I really am and get back to unity again? And it's like, it seems like the only game there is. What other game is there but spirit coming out of unity into diversity and then waking back to unity again,
I'm fascinated that Source is so curious to see all the different ways it can express itself through us. It's so delightful to see both the divinity and the humanity that dwells within. I'm going to keep talking, but I'm also aware of the fact that I have another podcast. So I'm going to ask you that question I love asking, which is how can people find you?
All right. The simplest way is to go to my main website, which is astroshaman.com. That's astroshaman.com. And everything is there. One thing they can do if they want to go right to that video I mentioned is go to astroshaman.com/invocations. And that will take them to this page where they can get this video. It's about an hour long and where I lead people through all four of the, not just the invocations for healing and awakening I talked about, but they'll learn how to literally call in any flavor of energy they want on the spot. And they'll learn how to be a hollow reed for the highest good energy for other people. And in this video, not only do I describe these things, but for each of these things, I actually lead them through it in real time.
Oh, that's awesome.
They can be led by me on the video and actually experience the thing with the energy of me and the roughly 70 or 80 people who were on the Zoom event this was edited down from.
So that's beautiful.
Yeah. So if they're interested, check that out. And of course, on my website, they can learn about my individual services, astrology, shamanic healing, life coaching. They can learn about my Awakening Plus membership that we've been talking about. And if they want to go right there, it's at awakeningplus.com. That's awakeningplus.com. And there's a detailed information page about all that and how they can check that out if they want to. If they want to try it, it's like just $1 for a 30-day trial with no obligation. So awesome. They can check it out and see if it fits.
Awesome. Well, Benjamin, I want to thank you so much for your time and your beingness and for sharing this time with me and all the work you do in the world. And I'm so grateful to know you.
Oh, thank you. Well, the feeling's mutual. You're doing a tremendous service by doing this podcast and having all these amazing people on and letting them share their beautiful gifts for the world and letting people find out about stuff. So I appreciate the profound service you're giving. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.